I'm Jonathan Goldstein, host of Wiretap. Each week you're invited to listen in on my telephone conversations, whether funny, sad, wistful, or even slightly strange. You never know just what you might hear on Wiretap.
I mean, I knew you had a show. I just didn't think that people actually listen to it.
Howard,
that's the breadth of your genius, Jonathan. It's not just that you're funny, but you can be cripplingly, poignantly depressing.
The Wiretap Archives, available on CBC Listen, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I'm Annie Fisher, and this is Limited Capacity. So, there's this conversation starter I use at parties. I ask, what's the weirdest job you've ever had? It's a question I must have asked 100 times. But no one's resume compares to Zoe's. Hi, Zoe.
Hi. Okay. Ooh. I'm recording.
Okay, Zoe, I want to know, what are the weirdest jobs you've ever had?
You know, it's funny. I don't really feel like any of my jobs are weird. If it's something that I feel like I can do, I do it.
Zoe's done every kind of job, from mascot work to being a valet.
I've worked as a professional muse.
Recently, she spent $200 on a weekend private investigator's course.
I thought it would be interesting. And it was.
I feel like your whole career is jobs I didn't know existed.
That's right. It's what I like.
So when a new job was offered to her, she was intrigued. The job was like a social media manager, except not like that at all.
This was an extremely popular influencer on social media who wanted to take a 2-month vacation. So the job was to essentially pretend to be them so that no one would be the wiser. I eat their food, sleep in their bed. I post as them. I don't just fill in for them. I am them.
Okay, Zoe, so what's it like stepping foot inside someone's apartment?
For me, it's incredibly exciting. When I walk in,
hey, I'm here.
I'm struck by how large the apartment is.
Wow. All right.
Clearly, being a fitness influencer is a very lucrative gig for this particular celebrity.
Okay, that's a pretty big bathroom. It's bigger than my kitchen. Cool.
And so, do you unpack?
I mean, I don't really come with all that much stuff. Part of the job description is that I wear their clothes.
What's in here? Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna touch that.
Are there house rules?
I mean, there's general stuff like how much to water the plants, but there are also online rules like don't follow anyone back and don't send personal messages.
And so what is the first thing you do?
All right.
The first thing to do is...
time to make some coffee.
Make a coffee? I had 9 posts I had to make per day. So I took a picture of the coffee in my hand, and it just seemed as perfect an opportunity as any to make my inaugural post.
In your personal life, do you use social media?
No, not at all.
Wait, what?
I just assumed I'd be able to figure it out. I signed a contract that says for every 100 followers my client loses, I'm financially responsible. So it's not like post whatever you want and hope for the best. These posts need to do well.
Hashtag love my life. Hashtag namaste. Hashtag.
That seems incredibly overwhelming.
Yep.
Hashtag live your best life.
So you post this picture with this caption.
Perfect Americano. Hashtag don't talk to me before I've had my coffee. I know it's bad, but I have 8 more of these to spread throughout the day. I can't afford to think of anything better. and it did really well.
Do you know how many likes or engagements?
Within 5 minutes, it gets over 55,000 likes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a hit.
Can you just tell me a little bit about the woman who you're playing?
Yeah, so her name is Gigi.
Hey, you guys, your girl Gigi here. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is
very blonde, very athletic. She originally positioned her account as a fitness page. She'd do these workout videos.
These are a few of my favorite moves that you can do at any time in the middle of the day. You know,
she loves yoga, stretching. She loves a good cool down.
I like to breathe out while I do this.
She's very passionate.
Carter and I have not broken up. So whatever you think that this conspiracy is, whatever you are taking from it and somehow spewing back out into the world, just stop. Just stop.
When I say that Gigi is simple, I don't mean that as an insult. People don't actually like complexity. They like things to be simple. And they like people to be simple. And that's part of Gigi's success.
I'm looking at these videos and it seems unlikely people are going to think you're Gigi.
It's about creating the illusion that I'm Gigi, using my hands, using the back of my head, you know, my feet hanging out of a bathtub. And when I've exhausted ideas for that, I resort to the stockpile. So say you hire a photographer for a photo shoot. You're going out and you're taking hundreds of photos in different outfits in different locations so that you can post these photos at any time, no matter what. So you can post this, you know, really cute photo of you out in nature and say you're taking a hike, but really you're just scrubbing your bathroom floor.
Interesting.
Yeah. Go to an influencer page and check out two photos that are posted, you know, an hour apart. They're going to be little things that you'll be able to notice. Their bangs are suddenly an inch longer. Their fake nails suddenly are real nails. Little things.
So you build these social media narratives and no one could tell the difference?
Exactly.
And so when did things get weird?
Things got weird near the end of the first month. It does start to wear on me that I can't even interact with Gigi's followers, let alone my own friends and family. You know, I'm very isolated in this position. And so I start to read the comments, and some of them become very personal.
What did they say?
People were really struggling. It's like they had no one else to talk to about what they were struggling with. And so they were posting their stories to this random fitness influencer account. And it was as if that was the only place they felt they could tell their story.
What was it like reading those comments?
It was really intense. I read their comments over and over and over again, often right before bed. I felt that Gigi had a responsibility to respond.
Even if it goes against the rules?
Even if it goes against the rules. Fuck it. I don't care.
So Gigi's account starts writing back, posting on people's stories, some with less than 100 followers. She starts providing mental health resources.
The more that I started to touch upon these so-called taboo topics, the more the audience was engaged.
But things really change when Zoe makes an actual post.
I took an old picture of Gigi, one that was like just natural, no makeup, no filters, and I wrote, "It's okay to not be okay. Few of us are. Keep fighting, keep surviving, and keep talking."
To me, that post sounds really nice. To some of Gigi's followers, it sounded really out of character. Maybe even like Gigi was in trouble.
It was a big problem when I started getting text messages on Gigi's phone.
From who?
Mostly acquaintances. And then I started getting texts from people who were closer to Gigi, like her ex-boyfriend.
If you follow Gigi's account, you'd know her ex-boyfriend, Carter. When they were dating, he was all over Gigi's stories and videos.
Well, good morning, Instagram. What's poppin'? It's your girl, Gigi.
What's up, everybody? Carter here, too.
What you making, babe?
We're making pancakes. Yum. We're using tapioca starch.
I managed about 24 hours. And then I broke. I had to respond. I didn't want him to feel like there was anything wrong. There was nothing wrong.
What does it matter if Carter is concerned?
I'm a strange woman in Gigi's apartment pretending to be her, and I signed an NDA, so I can't explain what I'm doing there or where Gigi is. So the last thing I want is Carter to, I don't know, call the police and do a welfare check on Gigi.
So what did you do?
I learned absolutely everything that I could about their relationship, their history, their pet names, their favorite sex positions, their inside jokes. I audited their breakup. And when I felt I was armed with enough knowledge, I messaged him back.
And what did you say to him?
I said, babe, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I'm Annie Fisher, and this is Limited Capacity. Zoe works as a stand-in for celebrities who are absent from their social media accounts. The next part of the story...
One, two, three.
Okay. ...is something only Zoe can tell.
It's March of last year. I'm pretending to be a woman named Gigi. I live in her house. I eat her food. I post on Instagram as her. A month into this, I'm texting with her ex-boyfriend, Carter. Not as me, but as Gigi.
G, where have you been?
This is an actor's voice, by the way. I have a plan. Placate Carter. Prove to him that Gigi's okay. And then disappear completely. But Carter doesn't want Gigi to go away. I guess neither do I, because we keep talking.
Well... I'm not surprised. You know you've always been trouble.
Before Gigi, I wouldn't have bothered with someone like Carter. But now...
I thought you had a rule. That you don't message your fans. Okay, Missy. When can I swing by to get your autograph?
Maybe I just liked being a better Gigi. It's harmless flirting. Just a distraction. I tell myself. And Gigi's not gonna find out. I'll delete the exchange before she ever sees it.
Gigi, I missed you.
Carter is handsome and successful and not afraid to get what he wants.
I'm in the area. Can I come around? I just want to see you.
I text back and say Gigi needs space, so it's only text messages for now. Well, not just text messages.
Gee, I'm bored. Send me a pic just to pass the time. Emoji face, smiling, tongue sticking out.
Gigi's stockpile has anticipated all possible outcomes. I find something that Gigi would like and hit send.
You know I took this photo, right? I want something from today. I want to see you right now.
My body isn't Gigi's. I don't work out 6 hours a day. No filter is going to hide that. But maybe with the right camera angle and lights, I don't know. Maybe I'll hit the red button and it'll be Gigi on the other side. As soon as it's sent, I know it's a mistake. A stupid risk. I wait for Carter's response. First, nothing. Then, three little dots, pulsing. Carter's message arrives. And I take a deep breath.
You are incredible. Your body is exactly like I remember it, G.
Turns out the right lighting can make anything true. Whenever we talk, Carter apologizes for the past. He's less insecure, less controlling. His yo-yo relationship with Gigi had found its end last year, and it transformed him. We don't fight like they used to. We talk from the moment Gigi wakes up until she goes to sleep. It's nice to see Gigi happy again.
Are you still fighting with your sister?
I had no idea Gigi had a sister. I write back. Yeah, we patched things up.
I'm glad you're talking again. I think you should message her, though. She's been on my case lately, saying you're not returning her calls.
The most dangerous thing you can do is think you're in control when you're clearly not. I spend the next 2 days detailing Gigi's family tree. Turns out she does have a sister, a school teacher and mother of two named Anne. Turns out they're not close. She's not a fan of Gigi's relationship with Carter.
He's not good for you, Gigi. You said you'd never get back together with him. What if he goes back to how we used to be?
A Facebook search shows her interests include baking and the Lutheran church. I Google a recipe for shortbread and send it via Messenger. I write, saw this, thought of you. But Anne is not pleased.
What the hell is this? You're sending me a recipe? You missed Tyler's birthday. We thought you were dead. Are you sick? Call me.
Something is very wrong. I'm inside her messenger now. She hasn't been writing to anyone, not her friends, not her sister, since last November, around the time she breaks up with Carter. Single, she flies to Puerto Rico for 1 week. Her first post, posing with shirtless lawyers and their Oakley sunglasses. The caption reads, "Back in San Juan, and it feels like home." But Gigi is heartbroken. She pumps out a few more cheery posts before she flies back. For the first time, she announces a week-long detox from socials. It's the only time she's ever gone offline. She returns to all her platforms with a throwback video. Maybe she's not ready to make new content yet. Maybe.
Hey guys, welcome back to my channel. It's your girl, Gigi.
I was driving around getting a million different life things done today. I know, I'm not always on my mat. It's hard to believe.
But as I scrub through Gigi's social media account from the last 10 months, I see all the sunsets and plates of avocado toast, mixed with photos I recognize from the stockpile. I had assumed I was the first and only Gigi. But how many other Gigis came before me?
Good morning. It's Gigi. It's a bit. No drama, no.
If you want to solve a mystery, you need to look at everything.
Records of flight? That stuff is private and confidential.
Most importantly, the things you took for granted to be true.
Huh. I don't see a Gigi Fisher. Is it possible she has a different name?
Did Gigi travel to Puerto Rico on November 25th?
Looks like that there's no reservation made on November 25th under Gigi Fisher.
Gigi Fisher? I don't know who that is.
Yeah. There's a federal law that says no can do.
We know she flew there earlier in the year for a photo shoot, which other Instagram accounts can confirm.
Good morning, everybody. We just woke up. This is our hotel, and it's so beautiful. Just FYI, this isn't an all-inclusive resort like the one in Cancun.
But for the second trip, Gigi went alone. And if that's true, how did she take so many photos? And who was holding the camera? The first trip lists a photographer named Ryan Saunders. His contact is in Gigi's phone.
Hello?
For the first time in months,
Hi, I
use my own name.
My name's Zoe. I'm calling about a photo shoot you did with Gigi Fisher back in September.
Sorry, what is this about?
You did travel with her in September of 2020, right?
Yeah, we were in Puerto Rico for 5 days.
Did you travel with her again in November 2020?
I only went with her once. Who are you?
I'm a private investigator.
Okay. Whatever photos we didn't use for the client anymore.
Okay.
Okay. So I printed Gigi's schedule, and I can't prove that she didn't go. There's 14 days where Gigi is unaccounted for, and that would also give someone 14 days, I don't know, to prop up her social media accounts. So I'm worried. I'm really worried about Gigi. I'm scared. Where is Gigi?
I scroll back to Carter and Gigi's breakup from early November. He writes,
"Can we talk?"
Gigi replies, "I can't live like this anymore." Carter, "If it's done, it's done."
"But I don't want you to end things without thinking them through. Let me pick you up and we'll talk, okay?"
"Fine," Gigi says. "Be there in 15. I don't know what they talked about after Carter picked up Gigi, but things ended then and there, with no further correspondence between them, which is odd.
So, Gigi and Carter break up. They stop talking. And then I appear on the scene as Gigi. And now he won't stop talking to Gigi. It just seems very weird to me. I know Gigi intimately now. I feel like she's my best friend. And I know that sounds psycho, but I think it was Carter. Carter was the last person to see Gigi alive. I just want to make sure she's okay, and I'm just going to call Carter to find out if she's okay. And I hope that I'm wrong. I really genuinely hope that I'm wrong. Would be calling from Gigi's phone.
Who would be calling from Gigi's phone? I don't really recognize your voice, to be honest. You're gonna have to tell me who this is.
You already know who it is. You don't recognize my voice, but you probably recognize my hands, my body, pictures that I sent you. I think we shared something special.
Well, you shared a lot of things special with me. I don't know how much I shared with you, Zoe.
Interesting.
You've been running her account inappropriately. And that's gonna have to stop.
You reached out to me inappropriately, okay? You lied to me.
Gigi, I didn't lie to you about anything. You see, you can't breach confidentiality. You can't go against the NDA. You were reaching out to her family. God, you're reaching out to me very inappropriately. And you were posting things that go against what the brand stands for. You were hired. And now you're fired.
When you broke up with her on November 24th, you offered her a ride. Where did she go, Carter?
You know where she went. Everyone knows where Gigi went. Puerto Rico. I mean, you can look at her Instagram to prove it. There are photos there. Seems like she's having a great time.
The photographer of those photos wasn't in Puerto Rico in November. Neither was Gigi.
Were you sure?
What happened after you broke up? I think you killed her, Carter.
Zoe, it's not... Okay, just look at your phone. Hang on a sec. Okay, I sent it. Let me know when you get it.
It's pictures of a woman on a farm. It's Gigi. But without makeup or filters. She looks like she's aged 10 years. In one picture, she feeds a goat. In another, she's digging up potatoes.
That's Gigi. That's her private account.
I don't believe this.
Gigi has a history of mental illness. And Gigi wanted a break. So you're right. She's not in Puerto Rico. She's having some mental health time. And so now I'm sure you can understand, if you really care about Gigi, that making posts about mental health on her account aren't a little off color.
I just thought that her followers would appreciate something real for once on her account.
I don't mean to be aggressive, but it's not up to you to decide what her followers want. Okay, and right now you're fucking it up. Do you want to talk to Gigi?
Yes.
I can make that happen.
Is she okay?
What do you mean? Of course she's okay. I'll tell you what, why don't we set something up to talk to her? We'll go out for dinner, we'll talk about next steps, and once we're done, we'll get her on FaceTime. How's that sound? Zoe?
No. I'm done.
That night, I collected my things and left the apartment. The following week, Gigi posted a new photo from her kitchen table. A stranger's hands coddling a steaming cup of coffee. I don't follow Gigi's main account anymore, but I do check in on Gigi at the farm. I like seeing her in her rubber boots, trucking through the mud. She seems so happy there. It's the story I want for her. But if you look closely, you notice small things. Like how it's been 8 months, but on the farm, the seasons never change. And Gigi's hair, it never grows.
This podcast is limited capacity. In this episode, you heard voices from Andrea Werhan, Natalie Metcalf, Scott Cavallero, Chris Siddiqui, Axel Kakuti, and Gina Phillips. It was produced by Rob Norman, with writing by Rob Norman and Joel Buxton, with Veronica Paz, Joanne Digba, Ellie Ward, and Andrea Werhan. Mixed and edited by Andrew Norton. Our associate producers are Nora CB and Farina Safi. Story editing by Nora CB. Music by Jamie Carroll and Breakmaster Cylinder. Production help from Cecil Fernandez. Our senior producer is Tina Verma. And the executive producer of CBC Podcasts is Arif Nurani. Why not leave us a review on your podcast app of choice? It makes a big difference in helping new listeners find the show. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CBC Podcasts.
The one thing that we both don't want is to make any of this go public. Right?
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.